Capturing the clots of pale cockroaches in Harris's cabin turned out to be easy, but everyone soon knew that those had not been the only ones aboard. Although their pale color made them hard to spot in some locations, they were obvious in the galley when someone flipped the lights on and they scuttered for dark corners. They swarmed to every food spill, and for a while, food spills were more common. Even Harris, who had convinced herself they were harmless, dropped a mug of soup when one ran up her arm. Eventually, the crew learned to tolerate the sight of them, or at least not drop things, but no one liked it. Nazaru Haidar came to the bridge, carrying the tiny object gingerly between thumb and forefinger.
What's this thing? And I already know it's not a dropping. I've learned to recognize those.
Petrus peered at it.
Egg case. And it's already hatched. Or they have. So they're fertile.
How fast do they reproduce?
I have no idea. Where I grew up, the entire life cycle of some insects was only 20 planetary days. And our days were close to old Earth days, they said.
And these insects were mature when introduced. Possibly more than 10 days before we undocked. So they could have laid eggs immediately they came aboard.
It's possible that we undocked with only egg cases, and all the cockroaches on the ship are those who came with us as eggs.
So I couldn't have seen them.
Everyone had pointed out that he'd been aboard the ship stashing supplies. He'd insisted there were no cockroaches then.
Possible. What doesn't seem possible is getting them all. I wish we knew how long ago that had hatched. Are the ones we see now first or second generation? Or worse?
Haidar and Skoderin, with their specialty in environmental systems, seemed the logical ones to devise living quarters for the captured cockroaches and ways of eliminating those still loose. Harris hoped Cecilia would never need to know that she had had cockroaches running loose all over her ship. Brun waved at her friends as her balloon tugged on the mooring lines. Dozens of other balloons obscured her view of the hills. She signaled her handler, who released the line. She kept a steady burn as the balloon rose. A few were already high above her, bright colors hardly visible. A dozen released within a second of her release, and still more waited for a last passenger. The Festival of the Air. She remembered how she gasped the first time she saw all the balloons and kites and gliders and parasails. She'd had to learn to pretend disdain, even while learning to pilot a balloon. She'd claimed her father made her do it, but she'd always loved it. Surface winds pushed her back over the taller hills, away from her goal. She didn't hurry to rise above them. Half a dozen balloons she knew well were drifting as she was, toward the course marker on the highest hill 10 kilometers away.
Are you racing? I thought you declared non-competitive this year!
Declarations are secret. The wind doesn't lie.
Every year, some people pretended not to be racing until the race itself. It was one of the things she'd counted on. She let the balloon sag as it approached the next ridge of hills. With the wind behind her, she'd gain altitude here anyway, and she didn't want to be pushed into the contrary winds aloft. Not yet. She was still a couple of kilometers short of the first marker when she turned on the burner. She had let herself sag below most of the competitors, but that was her style. Slowly at first, her balloon steadied, then lifted, then surged upward, as if yanked by a string.
Damn!
The nearest balloon might or might not hear her over the burner, but anyone watching or recording her on Cube could see her mouth moving.
Burner's stuck on! I'm going to lose my wind!
She hauled herself up onto the basket rim and banged at the burner with a wrench as the balloon surged upward. Her stomach protested. She ignored it. It was no worse than a fast elevator ride. Around her, then below, the others receded to multicolored blobs. When she felt the wind shift, she whacked the burner control in the right place, which she'd been studiously missing, and turned it off. The balloon kept rising. It had plenty of heat in it, and the air at this level was cooler. She leaned out, watching all the other craft in the air. She knew what the winds aloft had been when she launched, but winds changed. She was drifting back now, away from the course marker, back past the launch site where balloons just launching looked like overstuffed sofa pillows. Half a dozen balloons were higher and ahead, well on their second race leg, having passed the first course marker before gaining altitude to ride the other wind direction. The morning's mist had cleared, and now the remnants thickened into clouds defining the boundaries of different air masses. She pulled the burner control and sent the balloon up another several hundred feet. Up here somewhere, she should find a current angling in from the approaching low pressure. Over there, where the clouds thickened into murk. Ronnie craned his head to look over the guardhouse at the first of the balloons. Of course it wasn't time for Bruns yet. He looked at the guard, who smirked at him.
Festival of the Air. You like it, sir?
Ronnie allowed himself to look abashed. He had practiced the expression for 2 days now.
I know it's childish, but it's always been my favorite seasonal festival. If I hadn't had to come visiting today, I could have been up there too. Not that I don't love my Aunt Cecilia, of course.
A bit dull, visiting elderly relatives. They tell you all about their childhoods.
Well, not my aunt.
Ronnie was sure the man knew already. He had to assume that.
She can't speak, actually. She had a stroke.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, sir. Makes it harder to visit, I suppose. Although perhaps she can hear you. Give some sign that she knows you're there.
Ronnie felt cold. He wanted to smash the man's head on the ground.
No, they say not. She's just a vegetable, just lying there. But Mother says, I would come anyway. She's my aunt, but...
But not today, if you didn't have to. No shame in that, sir. At least you came. It speaks well of your family.
Ronnie nodded without speaking as the man held out a stamped visitor's pass. He could feel the man's eyes watching his back as he walked up the beautifully landscaped lawn. Could the man tell that he had something under his clothes, in his pockets? He glanced up and walked on with his head thrown back as if he could not resist watching the balloonists. As required, he checked in at the main desk, where he was told his aunt's room number. The same as always, he was relieved to note. Her condition was unchanged, the receptionist said. He would please observe the rules of the facility. He could have recited them by heart. No smoking, no alcohol, no eating in the room, no tampering with equipment or medication. He was free to use the toilet or drink from the water fountain. If he required something else, he could ring for an attendant. He could stay 2 hours, but he would have to leave immediately if his aunt required active medical treatment. He nodded, as always, and exchanged his entrance pass for a unit pass that gave him access only to his aunt's treatment unit. The receptionist, safe behind her counter, hardly looked at him except for a quick glance at his face. Sometimes they offered an escort. If they were busy, they didn't. This time, no staff member came to check on him, and he strode along a neat stone pathway edged with flowers, free to think without interruption. If they failed, his aunt would die. He was sure of that. Either they made a clean getaway, or whoever had done this would kill her. His mind suddenly forced on him an image of himself in Cecilia's state.
Or me.
He shuddered. Sweat ran cold down his back. He saw, without registering them, other people walking on other paths. Family members of other patients. Staff in the cheerful, bright coveralls they wore. The treatment units, low stone-faced buildings scattered among trees and lawns and flower beds, looked like expensive apartments. The path led him around one, then another. He saw a terrace outside one, with someone in a hover chair talking to two people in normal clothes. Off to one side, on a smooth stretch of lawn, a patient struggled to walk from a hover chair to a picnic table spread with food.